from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Wednesday, April 1st, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The daughter of former Charlotte City Councilwoman Tijuana Brown has agreed to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit wire fraud. The plea comes after the councilwoman pleaded guilty last month to fraud charges in the same case. Prosecutors have accused Brown, her daughter Tajima, and Tajima's sister Antoinette Rouse of misusing more than $100,000 in COVID-19 relief funds for personal expenses. Those include a lavish birthday party for Tijuana Brown, with a horse-drawn carriage and rented throne. The North Carolina Governor's Highway Safety Program and a nonprofit are launching a new initiative to make law enforcement traffic stops safer. Julian Berger has more.
The Traffic Stop Safety Initiative prepares young drivers for traffic stops through education and community workshops. Over 1 million traffic stops occur in North Carolina each year. Hundreds of stops result in the use of force. Here's Dr. Sean Ward of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department.
For teens and new drivers, a traffic stop can be one of the most anxiety-inducing experiences they will ever face.
Dedication to Community CEO Quentin Williams says the program also applies to federal law enforcement, such as immigration traffic stops.
We say that you need to comply and complain later. Do whatever you can to get home safely.
The program will begin in Mecklenburg and Wake counties and expand throughout the state in the future. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Energy bills are rising. Zachary Turner has more on a federal grant that could offset some of those costs.
The U.S. Department of Energy is offering $1.9 billion for transmission upgrades. This includes replacing conductors, installing better technologies to monitor the grid, and projects transmit power across regions. Southern Environmental Law Center senior attorney Nick Jimenez has been following Duke Energy's resource planning proceedings closely.
This round is really looks tailor-made to deal with a lot of the challenges and opportunities that we've been talking about in North Carolina.
Transmission upgrades could allow Duke and other utilities to interconnect new renewable resources, improve regional energy security, and shore up the state's climate resilience, and save money in the process. A Duke Energy spokesperson said the utility is currently evaluating whether to apply. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Queen's University of Charlotte has received a $1.5 million gift from Bob and Susan Salvin to improve the Learning Society lecture series. According to university officials, the investment is also an effort to draw more corporate sponsorship and community support for the program. The Salvins have supported the university through initiatives on campus, including the Friends of the Library and the annual Salvin Entrepreneurial Pitch Competition. Vehicles across the region are coated in yellow dust again. It's a sign that we're hitting peak pollen season. Tree pollen levels were very high on Tuesday, likely the worst of this week. That's according to the Public Pollen Tracker app. The good news is pollen levels may ease slightly over the next few days before climbing again this weekend. Experts recommend keeping allergy meds handy and keeping windows shut. If you're heading outside to exercise, experts say it's best to wait until later in the day when pollen counts tend to fall. The average cost of gas in North Carolina has reached $3.84 a gallon. WFDD's David Ford spoke to commuters around the Triad about how they're dealing with the cost.
Amid the Iran war, the cost of crude oil, the main ingredient in gasoline, has soared around the globe. In North Carolina, the average in the Piedmont Triad is about $3.90 a gallon, and some Triad commuters are feeling the pinch.
I have to drive my car, and I have to get gas anyway, so I just cry at the pump and still get my gas.
Oh, it's going to kill us. It's going to affect everything. I'm driving from Knoxville, Tennessee, come up here to have some cancer work done. So you're talking an extra 50, 60 bucks a trip.
I don't care what the price is. I have to go to the Y for my therapy and stuff like that. And I'll just have to cut back maybe some social events.
Didn't impact me. Got to pay it to get where I need to go. As long as it don't go at no $6, I'll be all right. I got a Corolla, so I'm straight.
That was Tasha Shaw, Joe Amon, Deborah Streeter, and Jafar Parker. The last time U.S. drivers were collectively paying this much at the pump was nearly 4 years ago, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. I'm David Ford.
South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson is calling on legislative leaders to suspend the state's gas sales tax. Kenneth Lee reports.
Wilson wants the state to pause collecting its 28-cent sales gas tax for at least 30 days as gas prices continue to surge due to the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. The national average of gas has hit $4 a gallon. In a statement, Wilson, who is running for governor, said a short pause on the state gas tax is common sense and, quote, a targeted step that puts money back in the hands of families right now while we work on long-term solutions. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
West Charlotte residents are angry and anxious over a plan that could bulldoze their homes and parks for new toll lanes on I-77 South. The North Carolina Department of Transportation has paused the project for 3 months to get more feedback, but as Elvis Meniese reports, residents are skeptical their voices will be heard.
A wooded strip separates Corey Wilmore's home from Interstate 77. Cars whiz past just beyond the trees. Wilmore points out a few new changes in the neighborhood.
These people just built that big crazy house. They talking about taking some of this street off, right? Taking the whole street out.
Wilmore grew up in the Wilmore neighborhood and feels a bond to it. They share a name after all, but he says it's changed.
It was no walking dogs. It wasn't none of that. It was the hood.
Nowadays, Wilmore says the neighborhood is wealthier and in some areas, whiter. Wilmore lives with his mother in a two-story home surrounded by older houses and some new mansions. But almost every house on the street, including theirs, plus the neighborhood park, could be demolished for new toll lanes. Something Wilmore says his mother, who just retired, disapproves of.
She's not happy about it, but she's ready to. She's preparing for it in the best way she can, whether she should sell, whether she can hold out, whatever the case is. Me personally, I say hold out to the last minute.
Other neighbors like Jack Williams are also concerned. Williams has been trying to raise awareness about the state's plan with people like Wilmore.
That's why I came by and talked to you.
I think my mom.
Back in like November.
Yeah.
Williams lives around the corner. He's worried even though his home is not in the line of fire.
I think that if this is going to be the major highway expansion that this region will see in the next 50 years, we should do this right. We should do this thoughtfully, with public engagement, ideas, counter ideas.
Plans to expand I-77 have been brewing since 2014, but it was only late last year when residents learned their homes could be at risk. Some city and state leaders say the plan is too far along to stop, but the DOT has agreed to pause the plan for 3 months to gather more community input. A few miles north of Wilmore, Shauna Bell leads a small group of people through the historically black Macquarie Heights neighborhood.
We were at the ramp coming 77 south to Brookshire. So that ramp goes right in front of my house, and then this is 16. And so people love racing on this all times of night.
Bell says the state has failed to communicate clearly with residents. She says at a neighborhood meeting in October, neighbors asked if homes will be bulldozed, and the state officials said no. After the meeting, Bell says residents saw a plan that showed otherwise.
You know what the maps say, so to sit there and not let people know that their homes are going to be taken, and to let somebody find out from looking at maps or either going to a community engagement meeting and seeing maps blown up and an interstate coming through your home is just disrespectful.
State officials say that was just one option. Their preference is to preserve homes in Macquarie Heights by building elevated toll lanes. But that plan could still remove sections of Fraser Park. Bell says the plans are resurfacing negative memories.
People are not happy. You had people at that meeting in October talking about how it felt like 1960 again, because you have residents who were kids when it happened and are adults now and remember. And so it was just like it felt like it was repeating itself, and you know, nobody wants that.
Bell is African American. In the 1960s, Charlotte demolished parts of historically black neighborhoods for the construction of the original I-77 highway, a painful scar. While Bell agrees something needs to be done about the traffic-choked interstate, she says the burden shouldn't be on communities like Macquarie Heights.
So if this was coming through South Park or this was going through Freedom Park, there would be all types of uproar because nobody wants that going through there. And so somehow it's okay for us to be the ones to have to sacrifice for the growth of Charlotte.
In a statement to WFAE, the DOT said the project team is still working through the designs in the Wilmore neighborhood. They've opened a community engagement center inside the project corridor to hear from residents. Back on Spruce Street, City Council member Joy Mayo sits on a bench at Wilmore Neighborhood Park, which could also be destroyed. The highway is just a few steps away.
Yeah, I can definitely hear that noise. It's pretty loud, which would make you think, you know, if the highway is extended, how do you help with that sound barrier for residents and their quality of life?
Mayor was elected last year to represent the neighborhood. She says she's not a fan of the current plan.
If this project moves forward, how do we minimize impact to community? How do we ensure that there are benefits to the community as well? But I think it's a lot to think through. It was a difficult time to come on council.
Mayo says she's pushing the DOT to improve communication and be more responsive to residents.
One of the big things that I've continued to talk to them about is they're so slow. It takes them forever to get anything done, and that's a problem. Like, people are concerned, people are fearful.
Chandler Rin is one of those people. Rin lives a few doors down across from the park with his wife, kids, and two dogs.
It's definitely a bummer for sure. Kind of don't know really what to do.
Standing in his front yard of the home where he's lived for 11 years, he says people in the community are after a specific thing from the city and the DOT.
You know, for the taxpayers and homeowners, is more communication directly with us. So, because we'll see news articles and all kinds of things, but we don't really know what to expect.
Rin has worked with the government and as an urban planner.
Our goal is to kind of just stay put and continue to see how this whole thing lays out and pans out. If there's anything that I learned working with the government, that things can change, and also it doesn't happen fast.
The DOT says it will wrap up its public input in June. For now, cars continue to zoom down I-77, just beyond the trees, while residents like Rin are left waiting and wondering if their homes will remain standing. Elvis Meneyese, WFAE News.
It's time for a fact check of North Carolina politics. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Michael Whatley is facing questions after a report that he appointed a convicted sex offender to state party leadership positions. The outlet Asheville Watchdog reports Whatley made the appointments while he was chair of the state GOP between 2019 and 2024. For more, Paul Spey of WRAL spoke with our Marshall Terry.
Asheville Watchdog published this report not long after Whatley won last month's Republican primary for U.S. Senate. Who is the person Whatley is accused of appointing, and to what positions exactly?
His name is Harvey West Jr., and he pleaded guilty to some sex offenses back in the year 2000 and was released from state custody in the year 2006. And since then, he's been involved in the North Carolina Republican Party out in what's now the 1st Congressional District. The Asheville Watchdog reported that Whatley had appointed West as the chairman of the 1st Congressional District Committee, as well as the party's Plan of Organization Committee. These are volunteer organizations. You know, the district committees are in charge of organizing events and helping recruit volunteers and with get out the vote efforts. The Plan of Organization Committee is in charge of coming up with party rules and things like that.
And to be clear, West had been appointed to state GOP positions before Whatley became chair, and those appointments also drew scrutiny, right?
That's right. Back in 2012, West was assigned to be an alternate delegate to the Republican National Convention. When the News and Observer reported on his criminal past, he took his name out of that position and told me that he didn't want to be a distraction. We got him on the phone last week, and he talked about just his work with the party through the years and how every once in a while people dig up his past, his criminal conviction, and use it against him or use it against someone else in this case.
How has Whatley responded?
Well, Whatley hasn't responded to our questions, or at least his campaign hasn't. We started to fact check this because of reporting by the Asheville Watchdog. They didn't include documentation to support all of the things that they reported. For instance, they reported that Whatley appointed West as chairman of the First Congressional District Committee. It turns out that's not true. We reached out to the reporter and he said he got that one wrong. They did report that Whatley appointed West to the Plan of Organization Committee. It turned out that that was true, according to West. Again, we only have West's account to go by. We also reached out to the North Carolina Republican Party, and they did answer some of our questions by email. They did not dispute West's claim that Whatley appointed West to the Plan of Organization Committee. They did, though, point out that West was appointed to that committee by other chairmen even before Whatley came on the scene in 2019.
Last week, the GOP accused Whatley's opponent in this year's Senate race, Democrat and former Governor Roy Cooper, of, quote, hanging out with a convicted sex offender named Chad Turner. What are they referring to there?
And that was one of the things that the North Carolina Republican Party responded with when I reached out to them. They said, there is a man named Chad Turner. He leads an LGBTQ Chamber of Commerce in Charlotte. And Cooper at one point attended the organization's end of year party and is seen in a photo with Mr. Turner, who we also reached out to, by the way, and didn't receive a response from. The Cooper campaign responded and said, hey, we don't view these two as the same. They said, I'm paraphrasing, attending an event where someone else is not the same as appointing someone to a party committee.
Normally, I ask you how you rated these claims, but you didn't assign a rating this time. Why not?
We felt it was more important to just lay out what we knew. Say, we reached out to all these people involved. Here's what they told us. And people can read and decide for themselves what they think.
Okay, Paul, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Paul Spey with WRAL. These fact checks are a collaboration between PolitiFact and WRAL. And for Wednesday, April 1st, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.